Sports Radio.
Well, it's good to be back, Ronnie, as somebody once said. Hello, it is me, Mark Tiley. You're not imagining things. So how was it for you? It's hopefully gone well, or is going well so far. In this little show, batteries not included, we're going to look at things that haven't gone well. Also some things that have, as well, some uplifting stuff. And tunes from Christmas. Christmas number ones that had nothing whatsoever to do with Christmas. Beatles, who else? They had Christmas wrapped up in the 60s. That was number one in 1963 for Christmas. Then I Feel Fine in 64. And Day Tripper, We Can Work It Out in 1965. Didn't they do well? So, things that didn't quite go to plan at Christmas time. Howard Kane is going to start us off.
One was the Christmas that never was. A grand gathering of the Kane clan and the various uncles and aunts and other relays were coming from across Britain for a gathering on the Isle of Man. I think there were 15, 16, 17 maybe of us, possibly 18, I can't remember now. A lot, shall we say. They were all ill. Virtually everyone had a cold or flu or some sort of bug and felt lousy. And on the big day itself, Christmas Day, I think there were more than half the assembled company in bed, not wanting to do anything. So Christmas was postponed. We actually postponed Christmas, I think, by 48 hours, if I recall, and celebrated Christmas the day after Boxing Day, the 27th. And on Christmas Day itself, those who were able and not bedridden went out to the dune and walked down Dune Glen onto the beach and walked along the beach and then sat on the rocks and sang Christmas carols. I was very grumpy at first, but actually, sitting on the rocks and staring out to sea, I rather enjoyed it, if I'm really honest. It was a bit different.
The old hometown looks the same as I step down from the train, and there to meet me is my mama and papa. Down the road I look, and there runs cherries, it's good to touch the green, green grass of home. Yes, they'll all come to meet me, arms reaching, smiling sweetly. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home. The old house is still standing, though the paint is cracked and dry. And there's that old oak tree that I used to play on. Down the lane I walk with my sweet Mary, hair of gold and lips like cherries. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home. Then I awake and look around me at four gray walls that surround me, and I realize, yes, I was only dreaming. For there's a God and there's a sad old portrait. On and on we'll walk at daybreak. Again, I'll touch the green, green grass of home. Yes, they'll all come to see me in the shade of that old oak tree as they lay me 'neath the green, green grass of home.
Christmas number one from Tom Jones. What year was that? 1966, and it was number one for 7 weeks. Amazing. Now then, toys that don't quite do what they're supposed to can be a problem.
I'd have been 9, 10 years old, and my parents had bought me an Action Man, one with the realistic hair and the gripping hands. Except that it had two left hands, which was a little disappointing. But Mum and Dad were able to get it sent off after Christmas, and he came back with a perfectly functional pair of hands, so everything was all good in the end.
We'll drink a drink, a drink to Lily the Pink.
Sticky out ears, and it made him awful shy, and so they gave him medicinal compound. Now he's learning how to fly. Rod the Tony was known to be bony. He would never eat his meal, and so they gave him medicinal compound. Now they move him round on wheels.
A drink, a drink to Lily the Pink, the Pink, the Pink, the saviour of the human race. For she invented medicinal compound, was efficacious in every case.
Old Ebenezer thought he was Julius Caesar, and so they put him in a home, where they gave him medicinal compound, and now he's a emperor of Rome. They gave him medicinal compound. Now see, never heard.
We'll drink a drink, a drink to Lily the Pink, the Pink, the Pink, the saviour of the human race. For she invented medicinal compound, most efficacious in
compound. Now they call her Millie Bee.
Jennifer Eccles had terrible freckles, and the boys all called her names. But she changed with medicinal compound. Now he joins in all the games.
Despite a medicinal compound, Sandy Pickle Lily died.
Up to heaven, her soul ascended. All the church bells they did ring. She took with her medicinal.
Christmas 1968, and the scaffold ruled supreme with Lily the Pink, 4 weeks at number one. Hello, it's Mark Tiley, I know, with Batteries Not Included. It doesn't always go well at Christmas, does it, Lisa?
One memorable Christmas, around 8 years ago, I tried to give my 9-year-old daughter a tank of fish for Christmas, and yes, you know the ending before I even tell the story. I tried so hard to make these fish acclimatized to the tank. I did everything by the book, and I wrapped some wrapping paper loosely around the outside so she couldn't see it, and then she unwrapped it on Christmas Day, and it was just a tank full of floating dead fish. Thankfully, she was very good about it. Could have been disastrous, but we all had a bit of a laugh about it.
Thank you.
has to be one of my very favourite non-Christmas Christmas number ones of all time. Dave Edmunds, 1970 it was, number one for six glorious weeks. Phil Gorn, what have you got for us?
The first one is when I was a very young boy, I was quite taken by my brother's knitted horse, and this was a knitted horse called Mike. And in the cruel way that very young boys have, perhaps not so cruel, depending on your way of looking at these things, on Christmas Eve, I sent a note up the chimney to Father Christmas to say, actually, I wouldn't mind having a knitted toy horse of my own. So I am told, I wasn't aware of this at the time, but I'm told that my mum, sadly passed now, stayed up half the night knitting a slightly smaller version of the horse. This was Mike, that was my brother's horse, and little Mike. I guess the slightly smaller version, because she'd have been up a lot longer knitting if she'd have had to have knitted a full-sized, well, not a full-sized horse, but you know what I mean, one as big as my brother's.
Wall of Kintyre, oh, mist rolling in from the sea, my desire is always to be, oh, Wall of Kintyre. Far have I travelled, and much have dark distant mountains with valleys of green, past painted deserts, the sun sets on fire as he carries me home to the Mull of Kintyre. Mull of Kintyre, my desire is always to be here, oh, Mull of Kintyre.
Not only was it a huge Christmas number one, it took us into the new year. In fact, it took us into February, nearly March, because it was number one for 9 solid weeks back in 1977.
Another year, the year the oven broke down. Always a nightmare, I think, particularly for Arga owners. Arga owners, you'll know what I mean. And suddenly, it wasn't the Arga. I think it was before the Arga years with my mum. Well, it was. It was at my mum's house. And the oven packed up on Christmas Day. You're not going to get an engineer out, are you? I mean, even Colburns won't pop out on Christmas Day to sort your oven out, as far as I know. And what we did in the end was the turkey was transported to a very kind friend, said, I can cook it. So in the morning, it was driven off. It might have been the night before, I can't remember the exact details, long time ago. But it was taken to another person's house, a drive away, cooked, and then transported back to the house. Not easy transferring a cooked turkey with all the gravy and all the meat juice and everything that's come out of it without turning your car into a sort of grease ball of turkey juice and turkey grease. And yeah, you have to drive very carefully. We should have had a flashing light on top of the car saying, warning, turkey in transport, or something along those lines. I know we drove quite slowly and had everything lined up in huge box with towels around it and a big dish, which was very hot as well because there wasn't time to let it cool down. It all worked in the end, and a very kind friend who cooked us for us.
Health and safety nightmare. We had one of those, Howard. Actually, it was about 20-odd years ago, having a big Christmas dinner at my brother-in-law's place, and the oven door went faulty and kept falling open. And while we went down the pub, my mother-in-law decided, because she had a bit of a dodgy back, it would do her good to sit on the floor of the kitchen with her back against the oven door, holding it closed while we went down the pub. I salute you. She was a wonderful woman.
Leave them kids alone.
an absolute classic. Hardly a cheery number one for Christmas. 1979 there for 5 weeks. So, it's Mark Tiley, back on the wireless. Nice to have you with me as well, by the way. Thank you for coming along. It is Batteries Not Included. And if ever a title was right for a little story, it's now.
Basically, when I was a child, when I realised, shall we say, that parents got you some presents as well as Father Christmas, I started as a child towards Christmas looking around my parents' bedroom when they weren't around. And lo and behold, this one particular Christmas, I found what was a awesome kind of racing radio-controlled boat. And I thought, great, that's one of the things that I kind of have been hinting at that I wanted this year. I couldn't even tell you how old I was. But anyway, because I was so overexcited, I went and got batteries and put said batteries into the radio control boat so that I could hear it going and see how it all worked and all of this sort of thing. Now, this continued every time my parents went out of the house for any length of time where I knew I could get away with finding it, opening it, putting batteries in it, and switching it on and whizzing it up to speed and all this sort of thing. The downside of all of that is that model enthusiasts would probably know, as a child I didn't, that if you run an electric boat motor out of water, there's not resistance on the engine, so the engine overheats. So after about the third or fourth time of me sprinting up to their bedroom and finding the boat and putting batteries in it, I burnt out the motor. So it stopped working, smoke came from it, and I had to put it away, knowing that I'd broken my Christmas present from my parents. And lo and behold, come Christmas Day, of course, I had to pretend and act all surprised as if I'd never seen this thing before. And then I had to act and pretend all surprised about the fact that the first time we put batteries in it and took it to a lake, of course, it didn't work. The summary of the story is that eventually, with a receipt, I guess, I think the radio control boat was replaced with a new one that did work. So that's what happens if you go hunting around and trying to spoil Christmas for yourself.
I
League, 1981. Don't You Want Me, number one at Christmas, and then for 5 long weeks afterwards. Your voice notes, thank you so much. They're lovely, lovely. Ben, late night Ben, up here at Manx Radio, said, Christmas disaster for you, Mark. I've sent this in. And it was my dad. He was decorating the outside of the house. And he hopped from the ladder right onto the roof to get the lights exactly where he wanted to. Then it happened. Off he went, down and down, bringing the guttering with him and straight off to hospital. And he'd broken his femur and he had to have an operation. It wasn't a straightforward thing. But there is a good side to this. He was home in time for Christmas. But the house now, from that year on, is only decorated on the inside. You won't see any lamps on the outside of that family home anymore. Ba-da-da-da, 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 ba-da-da-da.
Lurking from a window above, it's like a story of a dream. Can you hear me? Came back only yesterday, moving further away. Won't you hear me? All I needed was the love you gave. All I needed for another day. And all I ever knew, only you. Sometimes when I think of your name, and it's only a game, and I need you, listening to the words that you say, getting harder to stay. When I see you, all I needed was the love you gave. All I needed for another day. And all I ever knew, only you. Ba-da, ba-da, ba-da-da-da, ba-da-da. This is gonna take a long time, and I wonder what's mine. Can't take no more. Wonder if you understand, it's just the touch of your hand. Behind a closed door, all I needed was the love you gave. All I needed for another day.
Lovely version. Only You. 5 weeks at number one for the Flying Pickets. Another one that was written in, and this from Jeff. It was Christmas 2010, and we were due to fly out to Melbourne to watch the Ashes, a lifelong ambition. Snow on the island put our off-island flight in a bit of jeopardy. And so the flight to Heathrow was delayed. Then Heathrow runways were closed for 2 days. It was some winter. We were forced to sleep on the departure lounge floor for 2 nights, trussed up in our foil blankets, rather like turkeys. And then when the runways reopened, an appeal went out for passengers to delay their departures by another 2 days to allow some of the hundreds of Chinese students to fly home to Hong Kong for their families in time for the festivities. Well, we volunteered. Good souls they are. And were given £1,500. And so we had a good evening, a couple of nights in London, taking in some shows. And then we eventually flew out to Hong Kong on the 23rd. Just had time for dinner with friends before flying out to Melbourne in time for the outdoor Christmas Eve lunch. And despite everything, got to the test match in time. And not only that, we witnessed England winning the Melbourne and Sydney tests to bring home the Ashes. Came out years before that, but in 1986 it was the Christmas number one and stayed up there for 4 glorious weeks. Let's go back to the Gorn household.
The second one, the second disaster averted I had, was quite a sad tale, really. We were living at Craig Nation on Christmas Eve. The kids it was Christmas morning. The kids had gone down. They were probably age 3 and 5 at that time, down to get the presents from under the Christmas tree. And they came racing back up the stairs. Daughter, age 3, said with alarm, "There's a big mouse under the Christmas tree." Ewan Gorn, formerly of Manx Radio, and possibly at that time aware of his future calling to be a newsman, wanting to get the story absolutely right, came up behind, aged 5 at the time, shaking his head, saying with alarm, "It's not a big mouse, it's not a big mouse." So I was sent downstairs with an unused and quite heavy roll of wrapping paper to dispatch the poor long tail that I don't quite know how he'd managed to break into the house, but
if
he was more terrified than I was.
I should stay, I would only be in your way. go, but I know I'll think of you every step of the way. And
she really was a bit special, wasn't she? Whitney Houston, 10 weeks at number one. I will always love you. Howard, what have you got?
Be careful what you ask for and what you say when you get it. And that I shan't name any names, but certain family members one year rather liked the idea, going back a bit, of a giant computerised robot. It was just when sort of all the tech was coming in. And this sort of robot could drive around your house a little bit. It was about, I don't know, 1.5, 2 feet tall. And it could take commands by voice and it could do things. It could pick things up and carry things from one place to another and such like. It was the latest tech at the time. Probably fairly basic now. And a certain person, who shall remain nameless, rather liked the idea of this. And his better half moved heaven and earth to find one for him. And she did. And it was presented on Christmas Day. She was very pleased. And the present was duly opened. And the recipient then said, I tried one of these a few weeks back on a show I was doing. Yeah, they're all right, actually. Yeah, I've got one. Whereupon the donor burst into tears. There's no backpedalling from there, realistically, no matter how grateful you then say you are. So do be warned if you get a gift you've already got. Perhaps it's best just to say, thank you ever so much, that's really kind. I'll look forward to using that, even if it's just a pair of socks.
Thank you, Howard. Ben, give us an uplifting one.
Hello, Mark. Well, I have to say, and I could be tempting fate by actually saying this out loud, but touching wood, I can't recall any specific Christmas disasters over the years. There's been sort of one or two skirmishes, shall we say, but in terms of, you know, real full-on disasters, I don't think I've had any. So we'll say that very quietly and move on. And I thought actually we could flip the coin and instead I'll tell you about a really, really sort of favourite Christmas memory. And we go back exactly 40 years, and at Christmas morning, 1985, as I crept down the stairs very early to see that the sack of presents that Father Christmas had left for me, but to the side of the sack, and if I close my eyes, I can absolutely see this now, there was another present, all wrapped up, but separate to all the presents in the sack, and I knew exactly what it was, because if you think back 40 years, one of the biggest and most popular toys at that time was the game Hungry Hippos. And it used to make a heck of a racket as you got the hippos' mouths to open and you had to try and get as many sort of marbles as you possibly could. A friend of mine had this. I loved it, desperately wanted it for Christmas. And when I saw that present wrapped, I knew, I could tell by the shape of the box. And it just absolutely sticks in my head. It was such a wonderful, magical moment. And a nice little postscript, actually, is goodness knows what happened to the game I received at Christmas morning 1985. I think it's long gone. But a few years ago, a friend of mine who I told this story to actually presented me with a Christmas present, and it was a version of Hungry Hippo. So all those years later, I was able to unwrap the box once again and have a very noisy game of absolutely what was one of my favourite games as a kid.
Absolutely uplifting stuff. Thank you, Ben. And listen, I do hope your Christmas went well. But if it didn't, I'm going to give you some word of advice to finish. Now then, the turkey. It's a chicken. It's a big chicken. Just cook it like you would a Sunday roast. Now, stuffing. People tell you all about stuffing. Jamie Oliver says do this with pork and onions and all that malarkey. Paxo and a kettle. And if you want to liven it up, squeeze a couple of sausages into it. Gravy. Now, Jamie Oliver said, never mind. Bisto. Just Bisto and a kettle. Vegetables. I know you've got to have them. Buy them. Ready, prepped. Get them in there. Yes, roast potatoes. There's an art. You can parboil them to start with or do all this. Buy them. They're in all the supermarkets. Buy them. Trimmings. Again, don't try and make them. Buy them. Family. Feed them early. If they only want turkey and tomato sauce, done. Feed them, get them into the other room with the presents. And that should sort it out. And nobody, apart from the cook, is allowed to drink until the washing up is done. All right, that's for next year. I'm Mark Tiley. I hope your batteries were included. And I'll see you again soon. Finishing off, musically, Girls Aloud, Christmas number one from 2002. Some more.
station, Manx Radio.
Funny you're going to the Isle of Man for your holiday.
What's funny about that? I hear it's very attractive.
Which, the Isle or the man?